Should we just talk about Philemon? Instead of the gospel? The good news? There's a news channel in Seattle. I don't know which one it is. It might be, I don't know. But anyway, they always, they're advertising, when they talk about things, they talk about this new bill has passed in the state. What does this mean? And how will it affect your family? That's the tagline. A new bill gets passed, how will it affect your family? New taxes, how will it affect your family? Somebody gets elected, how will it affect your family? And in our ears, that sounds absolutely correct and accurate and good. How will it affect us? That's the most important question. And maybe this gospel agrees with that. You might want to ask the question, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, how is this going to affect my family? That's what Jesus seems to be asking, seems to be saying. You're going to be my disciple? You better count the cost. What is it going to cost you? Now, one of the very interesting things, and I didn't know that until this year, this time through with this text, is that Jesus didn't make this stuff up. Jesus found this elsewhere. Right there in Deuteronomy. At the end of Deuteronomy, Moses blesses all the tribes of Israel, and they're just before they enter into the promised land, and each of the tribes of Israel is going to get some land, right? And he blesses each of the leaders of the tribes, and when you get in there, this is what you get. Okay. Well, when Moses goes to bless the Levites, he says this: Lord, they have obeyed your word and guarded your covenant. They have been more loyal to you than to their own parents. They have ignored their relatives, and they have not acknowledged their children, their own children. They give you incense, and they offer whole burnt offerings on the altar. Bless the ministry of the Levites, O God, and receive from them the work of their hands. Oh, so everybody that's hearing Jesus talking this way, the whole big crowd, which, you know, this is just a little side thing. We'll get back to the Levites in a minute. Jesus does this constantly. He looks back and he sees that the crowd is too big. And so he says these horrible things, like horrible sounding things like, you must hate your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, even your own children. And your own life, if you will follow me. That's a good way to thin out the crowd, huh? Because he's asking them to count the cost, and they're going to go, ooh, look at the time, I got to go. Right? He does this several times in the Gospels. And it's interesting. Maybe we'll get back to that too. Now, back to the Levites. So what Jesus is saying, I think what Jesus is hearkening to, is this. The Levites, one of the things that's very interesting about them is that all of the tribes of Jacob, what land do the Levites get? None. They get no land. Because they're the priests. They get no land. Their job is to be the priests for the other tribes. Right? They're the ones who are going to take care of the temple. They're the ones that are going to do the offering, the sacrifices, all of that stuff. But they get no land. And now you've got to remember that family in the time of the Levites, in this time of the tribes of Israel, is really important, because what family has to do with a lot is inheritance. Well, what do the Levites have to inherit? The blessing of God, but no land, no stuff. Right? So you can hear the echo of Jesus. You know, you got to give up those possessions, and you got to resist the pressures of your family, as the blessing says of the Levites. That's the model for becoming a disciple of Jesus. Isn't that something? He wants us to not have the kind of connections to land and possessions and stuff that the other tribes have. That way, you're free. You're free to obey God. You're free to guard the covenant. You're free to offer the things that you are to offer to God. And Moses blesses them because they do this. Now, so they don't have any land to fight for. They don't have any land to inherit. They don't have any land to hand down to their children. And so they're free. They're free to think of this. I think of them as like the priesthood, the Levites, are like the embodied Catholicity of the faith of Israel. The embodied universality of the faith of Israel. They don't have a specific thing that they're guarding. They don't have family, tribe, nation. They're bigger than that. They're wider than that. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is saying about to his disciples. You can't get stuck in this little thing of family and tribe and nation. If you want to be my disciple, you have to understand the Catholicity of it all. The universality of it all. This is what God wants for you, my disciples. This is what I am giving to you. The freedom to see the world in a different way. More out, bigger, and less narrowly focused. Great example of this kind of focus. I think discipleship, and it's a story that's in James Allison's book, but it's written, it's taken from a book by a guy named Hedges, Chris Hedges, who wrote a book called "War Is a Force That Gives Us Meaning." This guy is a war correspondent. This Hedges, he's a war correspondent. He's been in all kinds of wars and all over the world. Anyway, this story comes from Bosnia during the Bosnian War. Okay. So, there's a family that he covered, the Sorats, as they're called, is their name. And he got to know them. They are Bosnian Serbs in this little town in Bosnia. That is a mostly Muslim town, but they are Bosnian Serbs, which means they are Orthodox Christian. Okay, and much of the country is, but there are enclaves of Islam, and they are in this town is one of them. So they're living in this town, and they're getting along fine, except that there's this rising Bosnian Serb nationalism, right? And the war starts to happen, and at some point, their little town becomes under siege by the Bosnian Serbs. So this little Muslim town is under, or city is under siege by the Bosnian Serbs. And the Sorats, who are Bosnian Serbs, who've lived there among the Muslims all their life, all of a sudden, the leaders of the Muslim leadership in the town starts to not like them, right? And because they are Bosnian Serbs, and they are the people who are bombing our town, they're laying siege to our town. So, the long and short of it is, the two sons that the Sorats have were killed by Muslim forces. Okay, one of them was married and had a wife who was pregnant when he died. Now, they're under siege. This is a long, long siege. This happens over months. And the young woman, the son's wife, delivers a baby. It's a baby girl. But because there's no food, because it's blockaded, the baby, the only thing they have to serve the baby, to feed the baby, to give the baby to drink, is tea. A baby can't live on tea. So, baby's 5 days old and is fading fast. So, what happens is, on the eastern side of this town, there is this Muslim farmer, an illiterate farmer. His name is Fadil. Fadil somehow hears about this baby. He's got a cow that he's hiding because he doesn't want the people to come. He doesn't want the forces that are laying siege to come and get this cow. He's hiding the cow, and he has to go out at night to milk this cow because the snipers during the day, they can see, and snipers all over town, he wants to be protected by that. So under cover of night, he goes, he milks this cow every night. And on the fifth day of this child's life, this guy milks this cow, brings a half liter of milk through town in darkness, knocks at the door of this family, the Soretz family, and delivers this half liter of milk for the baby. And gets back to his home before light. He does it the next day. He does it the day after that. His Muslim brothers and sisters are saying, stop wasting that milk on those foreigners. Give it to Muslim families who need it. But he ignores that. Day after day, he ignores it for 442 days. This man delivers milk to that door by night. He ignores the idea that they are the enemy. He ignores his relatives, just like the blessing of the Levites, right? He ignores his relatives who are telling him, you must give that to us. Our family is more important than their family. He ignores it. And for 442 days, delivers that milk to that baby. Because he knows his family is bigger. God wants his family to be bigger. So he says no to his tribe and his family, and yes to that little baby. Then finally, the mother and the baby, after 14 months, she is able to leave. She goes back to Serbia to live. Moves to Serbia. Now, the correspondent, Hedges, after the siege is over, he goes back and he finds the Soretz, and he visits them. And then he says, I'm going to go find Fadil. He goes back to the town, and he finds Fadil. Fadil things have gone badly. He had to butcher his cow for meat towards the end of the siege, so he doesn't have his dairy anymore. Right? And he's poor, he's in hard times, and he's not doing well. So Hedges comes up to him and he tells him, hey, I've seen the Soretz. And he says, at that, Fadil's eyes light up. And he says, and the baby? How is she? The light in his eyes is the light in his soul that shines through his eyes. Because this guy, he knows. He hasn't read the 14th chapter of Luke, but he knows what God wants. It's not just that he is faithful for 442 days to deliver the milk. And it's not just that he refuses to believe in the whole business of they're the enemy and we're the good guys. And he refuses to think that his family is more important than somebody else's family. It's that his soul lights up when he hears of that child, a supposed daughter of the enemy. And that is, I think, what Jesus is getting at for us. Stop thinking that our family is the most important family. You don't get God's grandness. You don't get God's universality. You don't get God's amazing vastness as long as you keep focusing on our family is more important than everybody else's family. Stop that. And you will receive, and this is where Jesus says this somewhere else. He says, you let go of that, and you will receive 100-fold in the kingdom of God what you let go. You will receive 100-fold. There will be children, babies, that you will touch. There will be the other people who are suffering and who are dying and who are in need that you will touch. Lift up your head and see the vastness of God. And let God transform what we think is family. I think Philemon, this Paul's letter to Philemon, is brilliant in this way. Remember that slave you had? No slave anymore. He's not your slave anymore. He's your brother. He's family. What that whole story, Paul's story with Philemon and Onesimus, and the story of the Sadiks and that whole story that happened in Bosnia. The bottom line of it is this, that guy had set before him good and evil. That farmer who had one cow. And God set before him good and evil. And he chose good. Jesus is saying, you know, you want to be my disciple, you want to follow me? There's a really good way to do that. See more widely. That's where life is. And everything else will come to you. It will. Don't worry. You will receive 100-fold. Just look wide. Let go. Follow me.